Now, in chapters 29 and 30, you have what in Deuteronomy can be considered the Palestinian covenant. Dr. Chafer takes chapters 28 through 30 as the covenant, and the Scofield Reference Bible begins with chapter 29 and considers chapter 29 the introduction, and then takes it through the 30th chapter, verse 10. Now, in my notes, I take chapters 29 and through the 10 verses of chapter 30 as being the covenant. But very candidly, the covenant proper is chapter 30, the first 10 verses. But now this that is preliminary is very important, by the way, and the covenant is mentioned here in chapter 29. Now let me begin reading here. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now the covenant in Horeb was the Ten Commandments, of course, what we know as the Mosaic Law. Now the covenant here that he's going to make with them relates to the land, and it's called the Palestinian Covenant. And it's right before they enter into the land. Now, verse 2, Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land. Most of these people he's speaking to, of course, were children at the time. Some of them, I'm sure, teenagers, but they had been witness of these things. Now, verse 3, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Isaiah had a great deal to say about that, and you'll find Paul over in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, verse 8. He says, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Now, does it mean that God just turns them off? No, it means this, they're already off. God has to turn us on. And that is the place where we need to recognize that until God opens the eyes and the ears of men and women, they cannot hear the gospel. Now, don't misunderstand me. They can hear the words, but they cannot hear the gospel with understanding. I have had called to my attention an article, in fact, it's been sent to me from a friend and listener in Texas that appeared in a magazine back there that they put in their newspaper, and it has to do with a radio station that's across the border in Texas, and the writer of the article there speaks of the fact that it's a bunch of religious racketeers that are on the station. And then he puts me on the station and attempts to tell about my program there. And I'm of the opinion, of course, we're not even on that station. And I can't understand why a writer would be so inaccurate as that. But he does have a few facts, that is, that we are going through the Bible in 5 years. And he thinks that if you attempt to teach the Bible today, that you're running a religious racket. And my point has been, we actually have taken this up with a lawyer, and our point has been, because I don't want to sue or anything like that, but it's too bad that this man can't listen to the program and see what we're trying to do, and if he'd listen over a period of time. But again, you feel frustrated. Suppose he did listen. He wouldn't understand. He just wouldn't be able to comprehend. He'd still, I think, come up with the same conclusion he has. Well, this fellow McGee that's teaching the Bible on the radio, he can't have anything but an ulterior motive in that. After all, the Bible is just being used as propaganda. He wouldn't believe it at all. But we wish he would listen in. Maybe the Spirit of God would open his eyes and his heart to see that we are presenting the Word of God today that is effective, that reaches in and touches the hearts of many folk. Now, God says that that's what he did for those people. He just left them as they were. Why? Because they had no purpose whatsoever to turn to him. They broke down all communication with the living and true God, and God therefore just left them in that state of unbelief. Verse 5, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness," he says, "and your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot." Now imagine walking 40 years in the same pair of shoes, and they didn't wax old. And then he goes on to describe their journey that they had made through the wilderness, and that should have opened their eyes. A great many people today say, "Oh, if God would only perform a miracle right before my eyes, I would believe." Well, these people saw him for 40 years, and they didn't believe. That's not the problem today. It's not for the want of evidence that men are unbelievers. They're unbelievers not because of the Bible. They're not unbelievers because of that which is outside. They're unbelievers because they are inside an unbeliever. And they are innately, and they are an enemy of God. They have no capacity for the things of God. What a picture God presents of the human heart, that it is desperately wicked. And none of us can actually conceive of how terrible it really is. And that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And Paul wrote that after God had tested these people for about 1,200 to 1,500 years with the law. He says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." What a picture of humanity.